I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 20, in honor of this weekend's Indy 500. Number 20, the 19, or I shouldn't say, the 88, the 8B, the Wildcat 8B, sorry, I thought it was 88. Wildcat 8B, built by Pat Patrick Racing. You know who built the Wildcat? Mm-hmm. Bob Riley.
Bill's dad. Bill's dad. Okay.
Driven to the 1982 Indy 500 win mm-hmm. by Gordon Johncock. So there we go. A little Indy nostalgia.
Yeah.
Tonight's episode, we'll talk about Formula One at Imola, a real track. Mm-hmm. I won't pronounce the name of the race because it'll take the whole podcast. We'll talk IndyCar qualifying. Then we'll talk news and notes. And there's some breaking news today. Mm. We'll kind of discuss Larson's chance in the double.
Yeah.
So, anyways, on that note, let's get started. Let's go to Imola. Welcome back to Europe. And I would say the first three practice sessions, if you're a Red Bull hater, it looked good for you.
Yeah. And how did it turn out in the end?
No. Not so good. Not so good.
Business as usual.
Business as usual. Would like to focus on one thing on the race. Welcome back to TV land on F1 TV, David A. Valsecchi, who brought enthusiasm and everything else to it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just fantastic. His time on the pre-race show, his time in the practice, they put him in the pit lane, they put him out on the track. Oh.
Easily.
Oh.
Top favorite commentator. Oh,
he's my, well, yeah. I like Julian in the booth, but if it was Alex Jakes and Davide in the booth for that race, yeah, it would have been like old days in Formula 2, Formula 3.
Yeah.
The reason I wish to watch those races.
Although the F2 had a very classic GP2 like start.
Yes. Yes. Actually, the F3 race had a little bit, not as much, but a little bit of chaos, but it was awesome. It was just so, well, oh, man, it was so much. It's always a joy when Davide's there. He brings the enthusiasm.
Yeah, like he's a true,
and it's not fake.
No, he's a true racer that likes racing. Like, yeah, there's no sugarcoating with anything with him.
No, I like. But he just, you know, he describes what he sees from his eyes. He's almost like a fan and a racer.
Exactly.
It was just beautiful, beautiful. Love it, love it. Although when he said shift, I thought he was saying cheat. Anyway, so that was good. That was a plus. Actually, the Formula One, the F1 TV broadcast was great. On the other side of the fence in Sky, no Crofty this weekend.
I didn't watch any of it. I didn't know.
I know.
Was he just on vacation?
They're giving him a rest on a couple races a year.
Oh, okay.
So, right. You know, so I don't know if it was lights out and away we go or what, but anyways, I was stuck in F1 TV land because I was trying to get all my Davide I could get.
Yeah. I think the guy who called the race,
Harry Benjamin.
Yeah, what do you know what he does?
He's right done now? Lower formula races and lower stuff like that. Yeah, okay. He's very good.
Yeah,
he's very good.
Because I couldn't remember if he's done some of the F1 esports stuff or not.
He could have very easily. They had him with Karun.
Yeah,
I like Karun. Yeah. You know, I kind of wish maybe they had, you know, if Crofty was out, maybe they put Martin in there, but, you know, whatever. But it was good. But the F1 TV broadcast was great because they were mixing in Sam Collins mm-hmm. with technical updates and stuff. It was awesome. It was always a good time. So anyway, so qualifying?
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I mean, like this, the only thing of note that I really have from qualifying. Well, I guess two things. One, Alonso genuinely made a mistake and paid the price.
Yep.
True. That ruined his weekend. So, can't be doing that.
100% agree. Especially on that track.
Yes. And then, McLaren just keeping the form running.
Yep.
And being quick up at the front.
Yep.
So,
and I thought, you know, I think we had kind of hinted on, you know, around about, you know, what we thought when we made our predictions, you know, what cars we thought were going to be quick and that, you know, once again, Perez, guy's out to lunch, seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's falling into his form anyways, because when the Europe races come, he just kind of drops off.
Yeah, I mean, he's mixing it up. You know, obviously, Fernando wasn't in that top group, so, but he was mixing up with Stroll, Yuki, and the Haases in a Red Bull.
Right.
You know, I don't know really what to say. I will say this: I thought the Haases were on.
Right, and then he on top of that, he couldn't even get past the Mercedes.
Right.
So.
Right. He threw it off, what was it, in quali? Or no, third practice, he threw it off the track.
Yeah, I didn't watch practice.
He threw it off in practice.
If I did, I wasn't paying too much attention.
It was Aqua Minerale, the kind of, you come down the hill and you... That Max was trying to carry so much speed in there, and he couldn't get the car to turn. Mm-hmm. Like, the car, you go to turn, like, point it, and it just wouldn't point. It'd go straight.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that was kind of giving everyone hope. Because he'd have to back off there and go mm-hmm. slower. And then what happened? Sebastian Buemi spent 20 hours in the simulator, apparently, from, like, Thursday night into Friday night.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what... to me, so hats off to him for, you know,
and all the engineers sitting with him
and then to the mechanics for getting the, you know, getting the changes on the car, because talk about a team effort, man. Yeah. they did it. McLaren, you know, continued on pace. Ferrari, I thought, yeah, you know, they were fine.
There was nothing that went wrong.
Right.
They were just...
They were second and third. They just got beat, you know. Yeah. And then everyone, well, Max got a toe. I'm like, well, you know what? Right place, right time. Sorry. See you later. That's the way it goes.
K-Mag, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah. Well, if we don't want to do toes in qualifying, we can do what they do at Indy and single car qualifying. Mm-hmm. All right? So, there we go.
Or we could do group qualifying and really spread the field.
That'll go well. Yeah. Anyways. The start, clean, which was great for the track.
Yeah.
Max did his usual pull away. Not to a second lap type thing, but he got to a comfortable margin where he had broken the DRS.
Yeah.
And that held through the first series of pit stops. And then they made the tire change off from the mediums onto the hards. And I'm sorry if I missed this. Did the McLarens go from hard to medium? They went to medium to hard.
The only one that was the furthest one up the grid that was hard to medium was Perez.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we moved into the later stages of the race, you know, again, Max had, I think it was up to 6-7 seconds.
Yep.
You know, it looked like he was cruising. And then the tire deg came in, and you know, it started running off. And mm-hmm. what was happening was that the McLaren was kind of built to run towards the end of the stint on the tires. So great job by the McLaren engineers and mechanics to, you know, do that. Because honestly, Norris wasn't complaining on the radio.
No, he was just out of breath.
Yeah, he was just out of breath because he was turning fast laps trying to keep up. You know, I didn't hear anything from Max either. You know, it was just like, whatever. Until we got to the Mercedes duo. And George, can I have sixth place back? No.
I'm starting to
sympathize with Lewis. Like, you made a right decision. I mean, the poor guy is like, what the hell, you know?
I mean, look, like,
in the grand, shit.
In the grand scheme of things, it didn't matter.
No.
Because you just swapped positions right. around, and the team still got the same amount of points. Yeah,
so that was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, there really isn't anything to complain about there. Yeah. I get it. If the points are more valuable in terms of the championship for the drivers.
I think what they're trying to do, they're trying to consolidate the team championship at this point, where they are in the team standings.
And the only thing I got out of that was, you're going to pit them, get fast lap, bonus point for the team, and move on.
Yeah. I'm going to say my driver of the race, I'm going to go Piastri.
Yeah, that was a good
I think Lando got it, but I'm like, I was kind of, you know.
Yeah.
He was right there with the Ferraris. Oscar, you know, got bumped down because of the impeding thing mm-hmm. in qualifying. So, I mean, I thought he was kind of the standout driver for the day. I will say standout team of the day. I'm going to give it to Haas. Even though they didn't get points, but they finished 11th and 12th. So, good on them.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Tsunoda and Ricciardo just didn't hit the start right.
Yeah.
And drop back a little bit.
Hulk made two places up.
Yep. And then, it was just kind of hard from there. I mean, yeah, I guess Magnussen probably had the best drive out of.
Well, he did. He creeped up from the back of the field to 12th. So.
So.
Anyways, I thought that was good overall pace there. And so, I'm trying to think anything else happened. Like, other than that, the race was pretty uneventful, which was great. It was a good race.
I was going to say, like, this is about as standard of a Grand Prix weekend that you could have had. A
lot of excitement in practice.
Yeah. And then.
And then qualifying went the way.
Don't get me wrong. All the times were very close. There was not a runaway driver,
right?
So you couldn't make mistakes.
Yeah, so with no complaints.
And when Perez made probably the biggest mistake,
yeah,
which cost him 5 seconds at the end of the day, and ultimately, I don't think Mercedes would have pit George if he hadn't lost those 5 seconds because of that pit window. But I mean that again. That just shows every driver had to be on it and mistake free all day to end up where they were.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So it's not like, I mean, yes, Max, I think, what did he do? I think he lapped up to 10th or 9th, something like that.
Oh, hold on. Oh.
And then, I mean, how far back was
The first guy lapped down was 10th, the Yuki.
Okay. And then how far back was Leclerc and Piastri?
Leclerc was 8 seconds behind Max. Piastri, another 6 seconds behind Leclerc for 14 seconds. Carlos was another 8 seconds. The Mercs were 35 and 47 seconds behind.
Okay. I mean, compared to the previous races of the year, definitely the closest one.
Yeah.
because usually Max is he'll have like a 20-second lead.
The tire, the tire deck, and how they had the car set up came into play. Yeah. So it was great. they got the old. Well, if it went one more lap, I'm like, again, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Right.
I mean,
he can sit there and say that, but he also knows, like,
it wasn't Lando saying that; it was just everyone else saying that. You know,
because when Lando said it after the post race interview, he's going to say it, but he also knows, the race is the race.
I have no problem when the driver says it, you know, but you know, he's just saying it just to support the team.
Yeah.
Let's just take a quick look at the standings. Not much has changed at the top, though. Max has got a 48-point lead on Charles, who is now in second. He is 6 points ahead of Sergio, and Sergio is 6 points ahead of Lando. And then Carlos is at 93 points. So Carlos is the first one outside of 100. On the team front, Red Bull's up. This is where Perez is killing them. Red Bull is ahead by 56 points. Ferrari second, 212. McLaren, 154. And then a huge drop off to Mercedes at 79. Then we have Aston Martin, Red Bull, Haas, and Alpine. Williams has not scored a point yet.
Yeah, I don't really know when they're going to score that point.
Yeah, neither is Sauber. All right.
Sauber will pick one off at some point because they've been kind of creepy.
Like a rain race or something?
I don't know if it's going to take a rain race. It's definitely going to take some retirements from a couple teams in the top 10, but it's not clear what track suits them.
Yeah.
Because it just seems like lately you can't really get a good read of whether it's the drivers having a bad day, the car having a bad day, or the pit stops mm-hmm. having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just seems like it's a lot of bad luck for them right now, or just not enough practice to get the car where it's going.
Gotcha.
There's definitely miscues there. Williams, I have no idea when Albon is going to score the point.
Gotcha.
I mean, we can sit there and probably say speculate Monza, but who knows?
All right. We're off to the Grand Dame of Formula One races in the Principality in the streets of Monaco. Qualifying will tell you who's going to win the race.
99% sure. Yeah.
Unless we get weather.
Right. Speaking of that, let's take a look at the weather.
And we'll come back and do our picks a little bit later.
Cool. damn it.
It's going to be sunny.
Well, okay. Race day is going to be sunny.
All right.
Qualifying.
Could rain?
It could rain. So there's a chance that it might rain.
All right.
But otherwise, it'll probably be dry.
So just one side note for this race. Will this be the first time that Roscoe and Leo meet in the paddock?
Oh, has Lewis not brought Roscoe to any of the races?
No.
I don't know.
It's because Angela's not there to carry the dog.
Yeah.
But it's in Monaco, so someone could bring him down, Roscoe down from Lewis's flat.
Yeah.
Because right now, Leo's number one in the paddock.
He is.
So, all right. That covers Formula One. Let's move on to what we call the greatest spectacle in racing.
Should we get picks in for Monaco?
No, let's do it at the end.
Do it at the end? Okay.
Because we'll do our picks for Indy.
Yes.
For Indy, we're doing a winner and a dark horse.
Three winners and a dark horse.
What do you mean we're doing three winners?
We'll do three picks.
We usually do one pick and a dark horse.
Yeah, why not switch it up?
Can't. All right. Okay.
It's the biggest race.
Did our compadre yeah.
send he's, in his he's picks? Got, he's, got, right. he's got picks in.
Okay. Well, Indy, I think qualifying lived up to what it was supposed to be, you know, overall.
Mm-hmm.
A little drama at the end of the field, a lot of drama towards the front. I think the Penske cars are definitely, at least in qualifying trim. I'm not going to go race trim, but I'm going to qualify in trim. Definitely were the head of the field. Now, the one big misnomer for the Chevrolets, it's a big question right now, is the plenum fires.
Yeah.
The Hondas don't seem to be having them.
No.
And now the plenum fires go back to, came up last year because that's how Pato lost St. Petersburg.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple others during the season. And again, they were all Chevrolet related. So I think Chevy's probably spending a lot of time trying to understand what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, they alluded to it that in the morning practice session on bump day, that they basically spent the whole time
right.
trying to figure it out. And then they came to a conclusion and it didn't, nobody had an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was promising
for
the race, but we still got all this week of practice.
What do we do? Let's exclude the Penske guys and Carrazza, Scotty Mack for getting the pole. Not really shocked that they were up where they were. I will say this couple stand, well, this is going to kill me on who qualified sixth, but the second row definitely had the, I don't want to say overachievers, but they had the two of the hardest working guys, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Rossi, who was definitely, he's been on point since practice, really kind of got underway that week, and he was giving it his all. I'm not surprised by this next guy, Larson. I'm not surprised.
No, but, I mean, he's definitely in a lot better car than what Alonso had when he tried.
Yes. Now, I'm going to credit that to one thing. The fact that they committed to this a year ago.
Yeah.
Okay? So he's had time to, you know, had, I think McLaren did Alonso a year ahead, I think it would have been a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion. I'm not, sure. you know, but I still think Alonso did a great thing. So,
mm-hmm.
But Larson, I mean, it's just proven what a talent he is. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry, but the kid is.
It's not phased.
No, he's not phased. He gets in, you know,
well,
he goes out, does his thing. They tell him what he's doing wrong. He puts it together, and then gets it all together.
The other thing too is everyone was making the comment
of... He understands the cars.
Everyone was making the comment of, oh, like, he's never gone this fast before. And I'm like, top speed is one thing. Like, I get it. It's
relative, right?
But, right, like, he's driven some high-power-to-weight ratio cars. Which helps slow it down a little bit.
Okay, can I just say something? I would much rather get in an Indy car and go around the Indy 500, Indianapolis Speedway, trying to, you know, almost kill myself, than try and strap in to a wing sprint car and definitely kill myself, or a midget, all right? Because those guys, the car control,
yeah,
and the feel that those guys have. I mean, and let's talk another thing. Sometimes they're running at night on poorly lit tracks. The dust is everywhere. I mean, these guys, they have a feel for everything. I mean, they adapt to how the track changes. They know how to read the track.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not surprised he's done this. Tony Stewart, same thing. Unfortunately, we never get to see it with Jeff Gordon because he made the fast move to NASCAR.
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of, somewhat might be kicking himself a little bit. I'm not saying that he would have stayed long term in IndyCar, but.
No, he definitely wishes he had a chance.
Wishes he had a chance. But. These sprint car guys are not, they're not flukes. The short track open wheel guys, I'm telling you, they're the most underrated drivers out there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion. But, I mean, Larson was,
gets out of the car.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going? You know, like they're running down to talk to him, and it's like the same Carl Larson.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know? So I wasn't surprised by him. Shout out to Santino. I know the fan club in Bridgewater, Mass. Is all up and jumping up and down. So we'll see Santino, how he can do. Renus VK with a nice qualifying effort for Ed Carpenter Racing.
A very risky effort, too.
After what happened. So, again, the immortal words of James Hunt. Big boop.
Yeah.
did a great job. Then we have Pato.
Just to clarify that, he crashed on his first attempt. And then went back out there, went fast enough to make the field, then went through the fast lane to pull the time. So he was not in the field. He had to make that run.
He withdrew himself.
Yeah. And then put down a run that was good enough to make the fast
12. He was in the group of death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which he probably would have led.
He would have been fine. Yeah. Well,
but he just would have been starting at the back of the pack.
As long as he didn't have a mental error.
Right. Felix Rosenquist, good run there.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say about this guy in 10th, Taku?
Yeah.
He's in a position where he could win this friggin' race. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm not too sure, though, because I haven't seen his race pace runs.
Oh, from yesterday.
Because they did say that Ray Hall focused on getting that car qualifying ready. Yeah.
But he was the lead RLL car.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So that, I'm still mystified by that.
I know.
Kyle Kirkwood, another good job.
Yeah.
He's definitely at home on the speedway. So mm-hmm. that's good for him. RHR, not surprised.
In a one-off.
Herter, fine. Just fine. But you know what? Now he's Herter's in the spot. Like, you don't, as long as you're in the top 15, top 20. Mm-hmm. I mean, Newgarden went from 17th last year. Okay?
Yeah.
Which meant his car was good coming through traffic. Mm-hmm. And we'll come back to Herter from yesterday in a minute. This is where the disappointment, I think, kind of came in. Pello and Ganassi, lead car. 14th, Callum Ilott. Again, so 15th. Great job in a one-off race.
Yeah, I think Callum, it's just lack of time in the car.
Right.
With the uncertainty of that seat this year.
Yeah.
So.
So then we got Marcus Armstrong from Ganassi, Ed Carpenter. I think that was disappointing because Ed is using the top 10
mm-hmm.
at the Speedway. So I have to think that that's a bit of disappointment. Kiffin Simpson, great job, rookie. Another disappointment here, Marco. For qualifying 19th, usually higher.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got Helio. Again, it's a one-off race. There's only so much he can do. I mean, sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, again, he knows how to
race.
Yeah. So that's his saving grace.
Yeah. Dixon, major disappointment in qualifying.
Yeah.
Him and Pello, definitely the two biggest disappointments, mm-hmm. I think. Then we got Canapino, Stingray, Rasmussen, Blomqvist, Grosjean. I guess given the team he's with, I don't know. Then we had Lundqvist, again, Ganassi, Lundgaard. And then this was unfortunate because Connor Daly was in, he was tracking at 16 and had a plenum fire.
Yeah.
So, again, that killed his run. He drops down. Still, fortunately, carried enough speed across the line to finish 29, so he didn't drop into the group of death.
Yeah.
And then we had the last one that qualified without the group of death was Pietro.
Mm-hmm.
So, good job by him.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got the group of death, which was, this was tough, because Nolan Siegel had a crash on Friday. So, it wasn't just a crash. It was a crash and he went over, which is never, you know, and it was, the blow over really wasn't, you know, like spectacular or anything like that. It just, went with the, got air under it and went up and over. Connor Daly had that happen. Mm. I mean, it's just that it's unsettling.
Yeah.
Because he didn't know what he did wrong. So they had a course. It's, you know, Dale Coyne, they had to put the car back together. Nolan's not in the car all year. This is where it hurts, not having a driver in the car all year. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm not, nothing against Nolan. So he came out.
He's also a rookie.
And he's a rookie.
So,
yeah. But he's talented as yes. all hell.
Yeah.
Marcus Ericsson, another one. Crash. And mm-hmm. I think that shook him a little bit. It shook his confidence. So
yeah,
he's in the field. So let's see how he rebounds from that. I really, Graham, I don't know what to say. It's 2 years. Is this like 3 years in a row he's been in the
two
years in a row? And last year he was bounced.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if it's. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
I mean, look, he's done this race enough.
Yeah.
That I want to sit there and say it's the car.
Right.
Just because the mile an hour difference definitely seems like it's the engine. But, I mean, if it is him, like, it's hard to kind of tell unless it's just
if I was looking at this, I mean, regardless of their thing with Penske, I would have had money on Stingray being down in this. Okay.
Yeah.
I think this is, if I look at the group of death, the one that shouldn't have probably been there but was there because of the crash was Marcus.
Yes.
Okay. Graham, now Catherine, again, it's a one-off. She's filling in for Jack Harvey. She's in Jack Harvey's car. I mean, this is a tough thing, you know? I mean, good on her to get in the field, whatever. It's unfortunate Nolan had the crash and the blowover, because I think even if he was in this group of death, I think he had a chance.
Yeah.
A better chance than what he was facing.
Right.
Graham, you saw this coming on Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, this, and I think Nate pointed it out. They were actually on Thursday. He kind of mentioned it. So, I don't know. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm not expecting much out of those guys in that row. But I'm really kind of interested in, you know, I think the rows where I'm kind of interested in are, you know, kind of 15th on up. So we're talking Ilott up, and then we got Pillow, Herter, RHR. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. Couldn't Dixon come from where he is at 21st? Yeah, it's going to be strategy.
I mean, yeah,
and it's going to be zero mistakes. So like 2 years ago, it was the pit lane violation. So there's going to have to be no mistakes.
Well, and he did that from the front of the field too.
Yeah, that was up front.
He
was
and,
up front,
and that was a right. dominant car yeah, too.
Dominant car. So no mistakes. The guy that I think can do it is Pillow. I mean, he'll figure if they can figure it out, he'll do it. Now, if we go back to yesterday, Herta put on a show. He came out from the get go, and it wasn't about being the fastest car out there. Even though he finished second in the timesheets, he was out there race. So he would be in a group in the front, past he dropped back past them. Come back in, go in the middle of the pack, come back in. And in his last run, he went to the back of the pack and came all the way through.
Yeah.
And that was before the stint, meaning all the tires and the fuel ran out. So I think that car, given similar weather conditions, now can they make that car work in other weather conditions? Possibly. But I think it's going to be a good race. Hopefully, then the weather cooperates, and we don't, you know, we have good racing conditions. So
yeah, I was going to say it's looking kind of 50-50 on Sunday and Monday.
So this could get pushed to Tuesday.
Tuesday is looking kind of iffy too.
So this is what I don't get. Moving up to Saturday.
Saturday is warm and sunny.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. Move it to Saturday.
I know.
Who the hell, Look, I'm going to tell you something. I think about 65% of those people are coming to see Larson.
Right.
Okay? And there's definitely a crossover of NASCAR fans coming for that. And sprint car fans, okay? Because we're in Indiana, you know, we're in the Midwest, all right? So, Jesus. Here we go. The right thing would be to get the race in.
So I, just to be clear, Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
It definitely looks like it's going to be raining.
So,
I'm sorry, Sunday.
Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon.
So move the race
up. It's going to be raining. In the morning, it's like 50-50 if it's going to rain. Monday is like 50% max all day, whether it rains or not. And then Tuesday is a similar deal.
So right now, I'd be sitting there going, can we move this race to Saturday?
Yeah, and then...
Honestly.
The other thing, too, is carb day goes from...
11 to 1.
11 to 1. Could have some rain at the end
of that. Okay, well, you know what? I'm sorry. Just let's, you know, they're going to be stuck in Indianapolis till next Wednesday. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. It's unreal. All right. Well, Larson won't have any problems. Anyways, all right. So, all right. That concludes our indie coverage. Let's just do some quick news stories. BMW unveiled their art car for Le Mans, and the hypercar looks very nice. Kind of excited for that.
Yeah. I mean, it's always good to have one of those liveries on those cars.
McLaren has a new livery for Monaco, a Senna tribute.
Yeah, I mean, what is this, 2 years now that they've brought a special livery to this race?
Yeah.
No, 3 years now?
I don't know.
Because they had the Gulf livery a couple of years ago. Oh. Or back with the older generation of cars. Jeez, older generation. Not that long ago. Who's I heard Andretti made a big sign.
One second. I just like they keep yapping about the driver market. I mean, like Magnussen's at risk. It looks like Sainz going to Audi. Because for some reason Red Bull is enamored with Sergio. It's just unreal. Anyways. As far as that stuff goes, I'll see it when I believe it. Mm. So this broke this afternoon. Pat Simmons, formerly of Benetton, I think he was at Williams in the heyday, is joining as chief technical officer.
Yeah.
Now, I did not see this coming.
No.
I did see a story several weeks ago how he was stepping down from his position. Mm-hmm. But he's like that older group. He's like with Charlie Whiting and all those guys. I mean, he like literally they all work together and stuff. And he's, you know, worked with Ross Brawn and stuff like that. I think Pat Simmons was at Ferrari too. Was he there when Brawn was there?
Let's see.
I don't know. Anyways, who saw this coming?
I know.
So he's joining after the gardening leave, which is fine because we're not joining. I mean, Andretti's not joining until at least 2026. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be off gardening leave then. Does that mean Newey's coming?
To sit there and be like, well, we don't want to accept an uncompetitive car. Really?
Really. Considering Adrian worked with Mario. Anyways. I'm going to start reading Adrian's book. How to Build a Car. It's my summer project. He was at Benetton. I know that.
He was there.
Who did he work for? Did it say? Like, I don't need to use
it's
that.
Kind, it's
quirky.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of meh. It's. I mean, from 09 to 13, he was a consultant for Virgin Racing, which was later
Manor
F1.
Yeah.
And then he later on in
is this on Wikipedia? 20,
yeah.
Because it's always right.
Exactly. This is where I go for
any news. This is my news.
He later went to Williams to be the chief technical officer from 2013. 2013 to December 16th.
And then he went to F1.
And then, yes, in 2017, he went as F1's chief technical officer.
Just to let you know, he's won four drivers' championships, three team constructor championships, and 32 race wins. Granted, that was with Michael Schumacher and Fred. Mm-hmm. Oh, shot a bow across the bow. That is fantastic.
Yeah,
love it. Okay, all right. So let's move on to our picks. We do have the NASCAR Coca-Cola 600 this weekend. That is the second part of the double if Kyle Larson is not impeded by the weather. What else? Anything else going on this weekend? We got the usual Fourier support races at Monaco, F2, F3, and the Porsche Super Cup cars.
Yes,
so,
more importantly, the Porsche Super Cup
cars. Yep, which is actually a decent race there.
One thing I do want to bring up, note the.
Oh, I got something else to bring.
Vettel did a tribute run with the McLaren.
The
Senna's McLaren.
Yeah.
You don't. I mean, when you look back on that footage, yeah, the cars looked big and racy, whatever.
Like in period.
In period time.
But you look at it now, it's not.
Today's camera.
Yeah.
It is so small. Well, compared forget, to what don't, today's
don't
cars
forget,
are.
Don't forget. Don't forget when you put all those cars together, they all look the same size.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. That car makes today's cars look so big.
It's like Godzilla.
Yeah. The cars need to get smaller.
They do. I know.
It doesn't.
I know.
They don't have to be
these wide these animals. Wide yeah. Anyways.
Like, make the tires.
Anyways. Just,
you
I know.
Can, you can consolidate.
I know. Because
it's fine.
Because I don't know where you pass in Monaco. Honestly. Honestly. Anyways.
In the pits.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. Well, if you're Ferrari, pray. Oh, Max does have a double race this weekend.
Another one?
I think he's got, is it this weekend? No. When is it? It's coming up. What? He's got Spa 24.
No, that's.
When is that?
That's for Hungary in July.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
There's no F1 race on the Le Mans weekend, the real Le Mans weekend.
No.
Oh, congrats to Max for winning that.
For the Nürburgring 24.
Before.
Yeah.
Sim.
Double race win.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Everyone's. You shouldn't be doing that. What do you want him out? Getting loaded? Drinking? Jesus.
I was going to say, yeah.
Like, who cares? He's 27 years old. Yeah, he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I'd rather have him in the house playing video games than.
26.
Whatever. Yeah, yes, 26, right?
26 still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're 4 days older than him, so.
Yeah. Not that I would know.
And not even know. Anyways, all right, let's do the picks. All right, let's hear it from Nate from Monaco. Just thought it'd be entertaining.
Okay, hold on. Here we go. Nate has gone with Lando to win.
Okay.
Max to finish second.
Yep.
And Alonso is on third.
Third. What's his dark pick? Horse.
Hulkenberg.
Ooh, the Hulk.
So,
food for thought there. Hmm. Okay. I'm gonna continue on the Max train.
Okay.
I'm gonna continue with Monegasque own Charles Leclerc, and I am gonna continue with Carlos.
All right.
My dark horse will be Danny Ric.
I'm going to steal your dark horse as well because I think that'll be a good week for him.
Mm-hmm.
Just because this is the one race I think he can do it, I'm going to go with Alonso to win.
Oh, there we go.
Piastri's got speed in this car now that he's got all the upgrades.
And he's raced here before.
He has. Yep. So I think he'll take second.
Okay.
And then Leclerc will be on the podium.
Okay, so Max, no podium.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. At this point, I'll play.
So your pick.
I'll be a fool.
Your pick is now secured. Max with a runaway win.
Clearly, it doesn't matter what we do.
Yeah, that's fine.
We've all picked them. We haven't picked them.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Anyways, I'm just kind of. Yeah. I'm just doing it for all the haters. anyways, all right, let's go to Indy. So we're doing three picks here?
Yeah, just
any. Did Nate give three?
Yes, he gave
three. And a dark horse?
And a dark horse. All right. Yeah. So his
oh, God.
Three potential candidates to win.
And they're all Penske.
No. First one is Power.
Okay, that's fun.
That's his only Penske, though.
Yeah.
Then he's got Herta.
Yeah.
And then Sato.
And his dark horse is going to be Larson. Can we call... Why is that allowed as a dark horse? Is that just because he's a rookie?
I told him that. I was like, I don't know how you can consider him a dark horse. But his response was, he's a rookie and it's his first time.
He's a rookie. He's probably the most prepared rookie outside of Fred that's come.
Totally get that.
Like in the modern time I know. I mean, I'm not going back the 80s and stuff.
There was a lot of great drivers. Unless we want to pick a true dark horse kind of deal, I think Larson's going to be the dark horse of the podcast.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to go... I'm going Rossi.
Okay.
I'm going to go Herta. And then I'm going Larson.
All right.
All right. My dark horse is going to be Rosenquist.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Where's he starting? He hasn't... Yeah, I'm going to go Rosenquist. What should be I lot? Which wouldn't bum me out either.
No, I don't want to disable my ad blocker. Oh my God, can they get this any...
I know. I should have... Sorry, my bad.
No. I picked...
Don't worry about it. I'm going to go Rosenquist.
Hold on.
I'm going Furrow.
This is better.
I'm going Furrow.
We'll go with Scotty Mack.
Okay.
Because...
Why not?
Who else we got? Who's further down?
I took the kiss of death by picking McLaren, so.
Yeah, no, that's right. I have three of them. All right. I go Scotty Mack, Santino.
Oh, why don't you put Santino as your dark horse?
No, because he legitimately shows up for this race.
He does.
Him and Foyt actually do a good job at this race. And
you mean Penske?
Huh?
You mean Penske?
Who?
Foyt.
No, I mean Ferrucci and Foyt.
Penske.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Sorry. And then...
Colton Herd believes that.
I don't know. Let's go Plow. Say they figure.
Is he the dark horse?
No.
That's... I like that pick.
She, Plow.
I wasn't picking Larson as
my dark horse. My dark horse is Marco.
Oh, all right. That's good. I like that.
So.
All right. That's cool. All right. Well, we got to rest up. We got a big weekend here.
Yeah,
I will be assuming the Indy 500 kicks off and runs to completion. I will be safely tucked in by the time Kyle takes the green flag I like to refer it to as the World 600, but the Coca-Cola 600 for those of you back in the day.
Yeah, so. I mean it's not the All-Star race anymore.
No, the All-Star race used to be then. Now it's a... Anyways, moving on.
Yeah.
We're not... It was... I'm not even talking. Other than that...
Good night. Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.